and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to Problem Corner. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner again. I'm your host, David Prus. If you want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. And with that, it's March. Oh, thank God it's March. March is one of my favorite weather months. It'd be minus 30 below, minus 20 below in the evening, plus 20 above, plus 25 above during the day. The sky is incredible. The northern lights come out. It's great. Enjoy March. Enjoy March. We've been through some pretty tough weather. We got another weekend of it. You know, minus 20 below, but hey, after minus 45 and minus 50,
amen,
we're studs. We can get through this.
We can do it.
It's easy. In the studio with me, I have Assemblyman Barbara Haney. How you doing?
Hi. How you doing? I'm okay. I'm enjoying second winter.
you're also enjoying the middle of your second year on the Assembly.
I am. And by the way, I'm speaking in my own personal capacity as a private citizen.
Everyone who comes in here does.
Okay. Just to make sure. I mean, yeah. Sometimes people see a column in something called opinions, and, you know, it says opinion at the top.
Yeah.
You know?
These are your opinions.
These are my opinions.
But you have educated opinions.
Well, I do have a PhD in economics. I was an economist for many years, still am.
And you sit on the Borough Assembly?
People were silly enough to put me on there. So here I am.
It goes by fast, doesn't it?
It does, you know. And it's always very interesting. I'll ask somebody, say, well, I was born here. It's like, that's very good. You're how old? 25. Okay, well, I've lived here 30 years. I can't control where my mother was at when I made the glorious exit. But once I was old enough to make my own determination, I came. Is that okay?
You know, it's interesting growing up how people would say they're more Fairbankson because they've been here longer.
And it's like, what?
And my definition of a Fairbankson is anyone. You're a Fairbankson when you've stayed voluntarily for your second winter.
Yes.
If you've stayed voluntarily for the second winter, you're in with us.
That's
you're,
right.
You're all in.
And if you say the third winter, you'll be unsuitable to live elsewhere.
You're looking to be a snow goose. There you go. So you're going into your budget session.
We are. We're going into that. And, you know, I feel like in a way we've been in a budget session with a lot of the other things that are going on with the effort to raise the tax cap and with what's going on with the animal shelter. And those two things alone, it just makes the rest of the budget, I mean, I can't even imagine what the rest of the budget cycle is going to be like.
Well, and also at the same time, you know, that election day, the tax cap, they say it's a reflection on education, help education. And so the borough has, you have many things you're juggling right now.
We do.
Now let's look at, there's all these monsters in the room, but let's look at the first one. You're having a special election on May 7th.
Right, and we're still in the middle of contract negotiations too, I believe. That's my understanding that is going on. As a private citizen, that's my understanding.
Yeah.
So I received that information from a private citizen. So anyway, it's my understanding that we're having an election in the middle of that, and that doesn't seem to be the wisest strategy
you know something?
Negotiating.
This is BS. You know, private citizen, my backside. You know, I don't have to, you know, I say I'm the mayor, and this is what I know.
Yeah, I know. Well,
you guys, Yeah. What do you guys got? This oversight guru after you?
Actually, there's actually in borough code something that says I have to say this in my private capacity. It's very silly, but that's okay.
Okay.
As an economist.
Since legally you are required to do that.
As an economist, I think that this kind of alters the balance a little bit of the negotiations. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's just me. But beyond that, the testimony against this tax cap increase.
Huge. Or having an election for it.
Yes. Just having the election for it. Because, quite frankly, this was done by citizen initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And state statute really does say something very clear about undermining.
2 years.
Yeah.
Two years.
And it's up again, too, on the ballot. So in October.
Yeah.
But they don't want to wait till then. They've got to do it now. Okay. There's a couple other procedural things that were kind of different. But I'm not going to get involved in some of the procedural things. The bottom line is the testimony was so hugely against having this election. The money we're spending just on the election alone could have been used
for school.
For school, yeah. Whatever.
How much is the estimate of the election?
Well, I think $125,000 was allocated, if I'm remembering correctly. Mm-hmm. But somebody would have to double-check the numbers on that. But that's what I recall, the number being something in that neighborhood. You know, it seems to me
that's a teacher and a half.
Yeah, just about. So, you know, if you're missing your teacher aid.
There you go. There's so many things wrong with this.
Well, it is a permanent tax increase.
It's a permanent tax increase. It raises the amount of the assessment, of your tax rate, revenue. Yeah,
that can be generated.
Exactly. It's a new base. It's not a 1 year and done.
Right.
Comes down.
And it will build. It will build every year after this.
Yeah.
And the last couple assemblies worked really hard to fight that increase.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the rationales that the mayor gave us is that inflation, the consumer price index, was only 1.8%. And so the inflationary pressures were not going to be sufficient to raise the cap. And there wasn't enough new construction. Well, there's reasons why there weren't new construction. Part of it was interest rates. And the other part of it was we had so many projects tangled up in what is called illegal subdivisions, which mm-hmm. I like to think we fixed last year. And so people haven't put forth those plans yet because they're still waiting to see how this new pathway plays out.
Pathway for legality.
Yeah, pathway for legality.
They're like Biden's pathway for citizenship. Just come on in.
Yeah, I know.
We have a voting booth for you at the wall.
Yeah. But anyway, so this is a permanent tax increase. It's not a one-time thing. And one of the things that I tried to do when I was sitting there as a private citizen was I tried to get them to remove at those words for education because I thought that was deceptive. The borough assembly, once they get that money, they can spend it however they want. And I'll prove to you in a second why I have that opinion. But beyond that, that money can go get spent on anything. And capital is fungible. You know, if I spend money here, it just means I don't have to spend over there and mm-hmm. vice versa. Not only that, $10 million, what's that going to do for the school district? They've got a $26 million deficit. So it seems to me that, I mean, if you're going to do it, you know.
Go all in. Don't piecemeal it.
Yeah. But I mean, as it is, I'm just like, this is a permanent tax increase, folks. This is not a temporary thing.
And that's what they're hiding from everyone.
Yes. And
they really are.
And so when we were doing the capital improvement project, people can go back and look on the videotape of the assembly. There was an assembly member who made a motion to kind of took a list of new construction projects and to try to move them into future dates so that they could address the
Which assembly member was that? Hey, it's on, like you said, it's on a tape.
Yeah, it's me. So okay. I wanted to pause that stuff.
But you're speaking to this as a private citizen.
Yes,
I on an event that happened when you were on
assembly. I know. Yeah. The whole thing is so weird. Anyway.
I'm having fun with it.
Good for you. But no. So I tried to move that stuff forward and mm-hmm. pause it so that we could get a handle on the deferred maintenance issue.
Yeah.
I can't do anything about enrollment and curriculum, all that stuff. But the one thing is a borough assembly member or as a private citizen that the borough assembly can do is they do own those buildings and they maintain them.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they close a school, the assembly or the borough is on the hook for that building.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they could turn around. They could fix it up. They could rent it out. You know, there's lots of different things they could do. They can repurpose it. You know, they're looking at building a $33 million animal shelter with $100,000 beds. And it seems to me that, you know, the $100,000 beds for the kennels, I guess they're kennels, versus we say here the $13 million in deferred maintenance over here seems to be I could like forego a couple kennels and you know, take care of some deferred maintenance. I don't know.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. And while we're taking the commercial break, I'm going to go puke over priorities. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Nulo's pet food recipes are exactly what animals need. They're high in animal-based protein, low in carbs, and have ingredients to promote healthy body conditions and stable energy. All ingredients are functional, delicious, and nutritious. Nulo has dozens of recipes, all made to nourish the healthiest and happiest pets around. Find Nulo dog and cat food recipes, treats, and supplements at Cold Spot for Healthy Pets, Interior Alaska's largest pet supply store, located at 377 Helmerichs Avenue.
Well, summer will be here before you know it, and you want to enjoy it. Well, so do the folks at Septic Specialists of Alaska. They want to fish, hike, camp, and have fun, too. So don't wait until the last minute when they're full for the summer. Get on the books now, whether it's servicing your septic system or a new install or replacement. The key here is don't wait until it's too late. Get on the schedule now so you can go have fun this summer. Check them out at the Home Show March 22nd through the 24th, and book now with Septic Specialists of Alaska online at SepticSpecialistsOfAlaska.com.
Ready to fix a great career for yourself? How'd you like to work in a fun and positive environment? Expressway Auto in North Pole is now expanding and is currently accepting positions for automotive and diesel technicians. Applicants should have at least 1 year of experience as well as the skills, knowledge, and attitude to excel. Additional certifications are a plus and can increase your earning power. Applications can be dropped off at Expressway Auto on the Richardson Highway in North Pole or to schedule an interview, call 888-659-0631. Expressway Auto is an equal opportunity employer.
KFAR weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with highs around 10 below. Southerly winds around 5 miles an hour. Lows level off around 34 below tonight, partly cloudy. Sunny skies tomorrow, highs around 4 below. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have in the studio with me a private citizen, Barbara Haney, who is also an elected member of the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly. But since their code says in the public, it all must be of a public opinion.
Private opinion.
My opinion as a private citizen.
Yeah,
as a private citizen. So she's gracing us with her educated private citizen knowledge. How was that?
That's excellent.
Okay.
So, yeah, what happened was I tried to forward or tried to delay the new construction, even if it's just a couple of weeks, so we could sit back and get an idea of what's going on with the deferred maintenance issue.
Yeah.
Because it seemed to me that if we're looking at, then the rest of the body didn't go for that. Okay.
You know, 70 to 80% of what you do is budgetary.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And yet they're rushing it, so you don't have the right information.
Well, yeah, and so what I did then next is I said, okay, well, let's pull out the animal. You know, and they were projects I like. I mean, like mm-hmm. an indoor playground. That sounds cool. I've got grandkids. That would be fun. I've got great-grandkids. That would be even more fun.
There you go.
And, you know, there were some other projects in there that they're noble projects, mm-hmm. but, you know, they're new construction. And so I was trying to look at this deferred maintenance issue. As you'll recall, this isn't a Republican or Democrat issue. Carl Castle ran on deferred maintenance issues.
Yeah.
So this is not something like some kind of political thing.
No.
At all. I mean, this is something both parties have been very interested in. We got to take care of what we have. So I tried to push the new animal shelter out a couple of years because I thought, well, the people in the animal community are very much against the shelter. It's just wildly expensive, and it's just not going to meet a lot of the things that many people in that community feel that a new shelter needs.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody would go for that. We have to rush it now, because building costs are escalating. But wait a minute. Last week, when we were talking about the tax cap debate, the CPI was only 1.8%, and that's why we have to raise the taxes. And I'm like, I just feel like I'm in this in this weird matrix of
bizarreness. First of all, stop with we have to rush to build it because prices are going up.
Yeah.
Analyze whether it's worth spending $33 million to add a single dog bed, a single cat room, these type of things.
Well, and I've got some real problems with the location as well. Mm-hmm. It's in this area on the Richardson that if you live in Fairbanks, you may not be aware of it. But if you drive in from North Pole every day, you know when you go up and down the New Gravel Mountain, you go down the New Gravel Mountain and there's this cutoff to Greer Tank.
Yep.
Okay. I call it the Greer Tank cutoff, but it probably has a more formal name.
Yeah, it's called Lakeview Drive.
Okay. Well, anyway,
I'm a real estate broker.
If you go a little bit past that, there's always this fog that kind of sets in. And that animal shelter is going to have a crematorium that is going to be right in that milieu of stuff.
It's the low area, the cold area.
Yeah.
And that's where the ice fog or the stuff from the power plant at Fort Wainwright comes over and stays.
Right.
And so this is going to be adding to it.
Right. And given the PM2.5 problem that we've had here in the borough, I really think we need to think about where we're putting this. That, you know, when you're having a crematorium, you're burning animals.
Yeah.
You really need to give some thought to where that's going to affect our air quality.
You know, as I told you earlier, my idea, Capital Pig Dave, is take the $33 million, put it into a CD at 5-6%, take your $1.5 million per year, and hire all these services out.
Right.
Oh, well, to professionals.
To me, what I would rather do, and I've been for decentralizing the animal shelter all along, is if we take, let's invest $30 million, take $1 or $2 million. We could use part of it to refurbish the current shelter or buy another building and repurpose it. I mean, if they're going to close a school, we could repurpose that.
Yeah, the building is, you know, 50 years old.
But then we could take the rest of that money and we could give grants to the shelter community to take in animals that are just take in the animals. I mean, we've got different people in the animal community who really care about these animals.
Mm-hmm.
They go way out of their way. They spend their extra last dime taking care of these animals. They have a true, genuine love, care, and concern.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could give them $1,000. Man, they could take care of a whole lot more animals than $1,000 would be for the borough. And it would be decentralized.
So, you know, you told me earlier before we came on the air that the only space increase after $33 million is one dog room.
I think it's one or two. It might be two because you can take that kennel and divide it in half. So they might be able to argue there's two because there's a divider on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But still, to me, this whole thing is insane.
Put it in investment.
Yes,
get the interest. Hire it out.
We've got some of the gals that are at the borough who do our investments.
Mm-hmm.
They are awesome. They do a great job. In fact, if the governor's listening, he should think about not listening so much to Adam Crum and listen more to these gals
because
they sure make a great rate of return for the borough. And I have the highest respect and regard for them.
It's interesting. You know, the finance departments at the borough, at the city, They do great. I mean,
they do.
So I'm signing documents yesterday to transfer money to pay for things that, you know, that's getting money out of a 6.5% interest bearing account and taking it out at the last minute to get as much interest as you can.
That's right.
Proper money management.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I just, to me, this is not being a good steward with our money. And then you juxtapose this $33 million that they're going to spend against what we're hearing in the school district.
I only laugh when it's painful.
I know. Against what's going on in the school district. So I started thinking, and using my imagination, which I think is kind of something a lot of people probably get upset when I do. There's some other properties out there, though, that would make beautiful animal shelters that could be easily repurposed.
I emailed Bryce Ward about 4 years ago when Sears was going under, when Sears filed for Chapter 13.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
And I said, Bryce, you should buy the Sears building. And this is before the U-Haul bought it. Mm-hmm. I go, you got 50,000 square feet of space. It's going to cost you $5, $6 million.
That's right.
And you can put animal in there. You can put this in there. They had the auto shop, you know, things. There's so much you can do with this. And they didn't do it.
I know. Well, you know, and then there's a couple other places. Not too far from where they're currently building the shelter, there's another beautiful building with vaulted ceilings and a commercial kitchen and 11 acres that go with it. That would be a perfect animal shelter. And then there's another building that's over off. I don't want to get into advertising people's different buildings, but there's a couple other warehouses in the Van Horn district that could also make great animal shelters. Not conveniently located as this other place, but still, I mean, all of them would be good.
Yeah.
But it would be better if we could decentralize this whole thing.
I have to get my head around off the fact that it's actually someone's idea to spend $33 million on an animal control shelter. I'm a real estate broker. Now, just think what I could construct.
I know.
With $33 million that gives an economic impact.
Well, that's why I call it the Taj Mahal, because...
Ready for a phone call?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is...
Yes, good morning. I'm Kaya.
Hi, Kaya.
I was just calling in. I had a possible suggestion for the animal shelter.
Certainly.
You know, Fairbanks has a lot of dogs. I'm a dog musher. Dog mushers and private people seem to almost every other person has a dog. But when they pass away, it's kind of difficult for some people to do a cremation that's affordable. Maybe the animal shelter could set up a department to do cremations at a reasonable price, and that money could also go into whatever fund goes into the animal shelter.
Yeah, it's my understanding they do that now. I'm not 100%
yes,
positive.
But you can't get your dog back. They throw it in the... In
yeah.
The- oh, yeah.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
You bring it over to the animal shelter, you're not getting it back. You bring it over to, say... Dr. D at the Animal House, and
yeah, she's across the street,
and she'll give you, you know, the urn depending what you want back, and she's very good about it.
Oh, that seems to be a pretty reasonable request. I don't understand why we can't do that as well, but
it might save you a couple million.
Yeah,
you know, it adds up, and a lot of people would prefer to have their dogs back, at least in ashes, if you know possible. I would think.
Oh, yeah.
How long have you been mushing?
I moved here from New York City, and
I know we've talked before.
I was 55 years old.
Wow.
Well, I moved here from upstate New York when I was in my 30s, but so I'm familiar with New York. But I had a dog named Delilah that was a great wheel dog, and I had her ashes cremated and the little urn thing going on. So anyway, I appreciate what you have.
Kaya, thank you very much for the phone call. You have a great weekend, okay?
Now, one quick question.
Yeah.
You were saying across the street from where there's somebody that does cremation?
Animal House, Dr. D on Pegger Road. Mm-hmm. Animal House, she has a crematorium there for people for their pets.
Oh, wow. I didn't know about that one.
Yeah.
Animal House. Thank you for your help.
You're very welcome. You have a great weekend. And Fairbanks, we are going into our halftime break. Glenner must have chosen the music. He likes that police stuff. Then we're going to have some bumper music, some Fox News, state news, commercials, some weather. And then we'll be back and talk about the Taj Mahal.
coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
What's going on in the case against Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis over whether her and her team should be removed from an election interference case against former President Trump? Trump lawyer Steve Sadow argues that a speech by Willis, as she claimed she was getting unfavorable attention because she was black.
Ms. Willis took full opportunity to prejudice the defendants. And then comes along later in a pleading and says it wasn't designed or intended to be at the defendants at all, or the defense counsel, which with all due respect is just nonsense.
Lawyers trying to argue the romantic relationship between Willis and Wade was a conflict of interest. The Biden administration announcing more federal investments into small business. Vice President Kamala Harris discussing it in North Carolina.
Thus far, we have invested more than $3 billion in the entrepreneurs and small businesses here in North Carolina.
America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy has threatened to veto an education package overwhelmingly passed by lawmakers after a bruising debate, saying it lacks provisions he favors, including a pilot program offering annual bonuses of up to $15,000 as a way to attract and keep teachers. Dunleavy, a former educator, said this week that there is still time for lawmakers to address issues like the proposed bonuses and changes to the application process for charter schools aimed at promoting such schools. The governor has 15 days, excluding Sundays, to act on a bill sent to him if the legislature is in session. He can sign the bill, veto it, or let it become law without his signature. A decision is expected by March 14th. Some key lawmakers say the package was a compromise and question whether the state can afford the bonuses or even if they'd work. The Senate, led by a bipartisan coalition, agreed 18-1 on Monday to support the package, sending it to Dunleavy. The House last week voted 38-2 to support the compromise package.
Online at KFAR660.com.
Wintertime is always awesome at Ivory Jack's. Whether you ski up, arrive on dog sled, or a snow machine, you're always welcome at Ivory Jack's with great weekend breakfasts with mimosas or their famous Bloody Marys. How about the perfect lunch or maybe a nice steak dinner? Swing out on the weekends to Ivory Jack's for live nightly entertainment, and there's always a game on the big screens. Plus free parking, always at Ivory Jack's, whether it's your car, snow machine, or dog sled. Ivory Jack's, in the heart of the beautiful Goldstream Valley.
Have you Googled yourself lately? Are there negative posts from an ex-employee or from a former client? Maybe an outdated news article or sensitive personal information about your family? Search engines don't always get it right. But right or wrong, it's your reputation on the line. That's where Reputation Defender by Norton comes in. One of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. Reputation Defender has been fixing people's search results for over 15 years. Their cutting-edge approaches help you to wipe away unwanted information in your search results. They also promote the good stuff, so that it rises to the top, helping you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. Take control with Reputation Defender. You can start by getting your free reputation report card at ReputationDefender.com or call 800-803-5505 to speak to an expert. That's 800-803-5505.
With stores in Anchorage, Wasilla, North Pole, Fairbanks, and throughout North America, Glass Doctor is your locally owned and operated solution when you need a windshield. With our G12 road hazard guarantee, you get 1 year peace of mind, knowing we will fix or replace your windshield if it gets damaged or broken for free in Alaska, where they put rocks on the road, like on purpose. It's practically a buy one, get one free kind of a deal, and only at Glass Doctor.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your pains. Oh,
yeah. And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have a private citizen who's also an assembly member, Barbara Haney, in the studio with me here for all those borough police officers that are listening to the show. I am having so much fun with this. You know, I don't have those handcuffs.
Well, you know, you just have to roll with it as it goes, and that's fine.
But, you know, at the beginning of every show here, it says these are opinions.
Right. Well, when you write a column in the newspaper, too, it says opinions great big.
Yeah.
There's still people who think you're speaking in some sort of official capacity. So,
you have an educated, knowledgeable, unofficial of capacity. That's what you're saying.
Well, what I guess, you know, I'm from an academic background, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, I was a professor, and free speech in that world is very held, prized very highly mm-hmm. Because you have debates and differences in opinion. And so the ability to speak is very essential to finding solutions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I even listen to people with whom I might not agree with on other things because they have good ideas. It may be couched in a language that doesn't make it seem like something I might look at, but sometimes yep. they have ideas that are useful. So, and sometimes I see an issue differently, and I'll get some ideas that on things I didn't know about.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Assemblywoman Barbara Haney, and your name is?
This is Phil. Good morning, Dave and Barbara. Concerning this animal shelter, you know, we're talking about $33 million.
Yes.
I think about the homeless in this community.
I know.
Now, they're not much different than a stray dog. They have nowhere to go, okay? Now, there are people that habitually sleep there at the downtown post office. They can be there during the day. They can be there all night. There's already been one fatality there.
I know. It's very sad.
Okay. Now, you know, if somebody, how can somebody in good conscience, you know, support a $33 million animal shelter and yet contribute nothing for the homeless? I understand there are nonprofits, et cetera. But yeah. These people, they don't comply with the rules, you know, whatever.
Phil, you bring up a good premise. What are the priorities? There are many more priorities than to use with $33 million than this.
I think, you know, to me, it's the people that are more important. Whether it's our students, whether it's homeless, and people know I donate money to various causes in mm-hmm. town. I rarely keep most of my assembly dollars.
Yeah.
I donate it out to the food bank or other missions that are very people-oriented because, to me, it's the people that matter. I'm not saying dogs don't matter. I love dogs. I love cats.
Yeah. But, they're family members.
Right. But they're not. They don't have that divine spark that a human does.
They do, but that doesn't mean I'm spending $33 million on them. Is that right, Phil?
Well, exactly. You know, it's kind of a philosophical issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, this is kind of out of the box, probably not really practical. Okay, $33 million. How about having part of that facility such that people could go in there when it's 50 below, they can lay down, they can sleep. They don't need much in the way of accommodation, something that can be hosed off daily, cleaned up, and then, you know, not something that people can live in, something that they can just get shelter. Because I challenge anybody to, you know, just walk out your door someday with the idea that you have to spend the night on the street somewhere with no help from anyone. Because that's what a lot of these people do.
Yeah, it's very heartbreaking.
I've got one for you, Phil. Take that $33 million, put it into a bank account, get 5% interest, so you're getting mm-hmm. about $1.6 million a year, and take $250,000 of that and help homeless and, you know, facility here. You know, you have a facility on Wendell Street now.
Yeah.
That you can give to them. That's a
Brendan McFarland.
Yeah.
Runs Crisis Now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she could find ways to utilize that money.
Or
there's they're going to close
Bryn Beller, she does homeless and housing homeless.
Right. And then we have the Rescue Mission. There's several different organizations out there that do this sort of thing. And if they're going to close a school, I mean, well, they closed Joy and they closed Nordale. Why? Those could have a warming shelter element to them. I don't understand why not. So,
Phil, greatly appreciate the phone call. What do you got planned for the weekend? It's first Friday tonight, you know.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I'm kind of housebound anymore. So,
okay.
Nothing really out of the ordinary. One quick point.
Mm-hmm.
Now, regarding these people downtown, I know someone who works there. Habitually, some of these keyed boxes that are on the lower level that you have to reach down to open and get your mail, people urinate on these.
I know.
They're basic.
I've heard about that.
And, you know, police have been called in there.
Yes.
But they're busy with other things. And quite often, they can't respond for at least an hour or 2 hours. And, I mean, to me, if I'm a tourist and I'm coming to Fairbanks and I want to mail a postcard or whatever, and I go into the post office and I smell urine, excrement, I see people laying on the floor, it kind of gives a bad impression of Fairbanks.
Yeah, we might have to, you know, we have a temporary police officer from May through September at Golden Heart Park. We might have to put one in the post office now. You know, hey, I got another phone call. I got to go, buddy. You have a great weekend. Talk to you later. Bye. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Assemblywoman Barbara Haney, and your name is?
Yes, I'm Helena Herning.
Hello, Helena Herning.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Yes, I'm calling regarding spending $33 million on animals.
Mm-hmm.
When we are now, we were talking about schools for our children. They knew that our children, they're needing money either to keep the schools open or to whatever the reason that they're short of money to keep hiring people to work in the schools, shortage of students. So if they knew they have this shortage of money, how are they getting all this extra money for an animal shelter?
Now you're getting down to the very core of the issue. One of the things I had done as speaking, it's commentary to private citizen. One of the things that an assembly member did, me, was try to delay the new construction until we could get to the bottom of the deferred maintenance and financial issues of the district. It's to me, our children are more important than a new animal shelter. We have an animal shelter.
Also, Helena,
it's about priorities.
Yeah. Also, Helena, you know, if you read the paper, some of the property of the schools that they're looking at closing is because of deferred maintenance.
Right.
And here you have a $33 million pool that's going into a new facility.
Exactly.
You hit it right on the head, Alina.
Right. And to me,
it's our money. It's people who are, we are the ones. Without us, they won't have any money. So we're depending on their judgment to be honest and integrity to make the right decisions for the whole community, not for little special projects.
Well, and like I said, I tried to defer the discussion and tried to put it off a year because I wanted to get to the bottom of this deferred maintenance issue. Whether they close the school or not, those are borough-owned facilities, and we have to get a handle on what's going on there because if they do close the school, we've got to take over the building, and what are we going to be on the hook for? We don't know. I mean, I heard testimony from one assembly member that the stairs were being upheld with duct tape. I don't know. I'm not a civil engineer, so I can't speak to the truthfulness.
Right.
But, you know, I'm hearing these stories. It's like, gosh, I want to get to the bottom of this deferred maintenance. Now, a school board member who was there indicated that we needed to pay higher salaries to the custodial staff to take care of deferred maintenance. And I'm not necessarily opposed to something like that, but it seems to me if a roof is aging, it doesn't matter how much I've paid the custodian, you know.
You got to get a roofing contractor out there.
Right. Exactly. Roofs have an expected lifespan, and floors have an expected lifespan, and you know, different types of plumbing, electrical, heating systems, they have a lifespan, and we should be taking care of those deferred maintenance issues first.
Right.
And that's just, you know, as an assemblywoman or as a private citizen looking at the assembly, that's just how I think about things. And
common sense.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a pretty good way of looking at things, Barbara.
And I'll give you another area, too, that of deferred maintenance is Pioneer Park. I look at Pioneer Park, and I think, you know, this is kind of the jewel of the borough right here. You know, when you walk into Pioneer Park and you don't know anything about the city of Fairbanks, the borough of Fairbanks, you don't know anything. You're just here. You flew in. You're going to enjoy a summer visit or a winter visit. You walk in and you see that the paint is chipping and things don't look clean and nice.
Looks poopy.
And you know, and then I look at our public works budget, and it's one of the biggest parts of our budget. And you kind of wonder what's, I don't know. I'm scratching my head because I clearly, my female brain just does not understand how these money flows are working and the production is
not
there.
Now, Helena, here's the thing about it. 5 years ago, they installed the ordinance for the KIPP, where 12% of all revenues comes in, goes into a fund for maintenance, deferred maintenance, and new construction. But all of a sudden, the priorities are not correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sadly so.
And that's where I also see another thing is the library, they rebuilt, making it bigger, our library, when they knew at the time that we were having problems in our schools. Why rebuild something bigger that's already in existence and was not having a problem with the population? There was too many people coming into the library.
To be fair to the library people, not that I'm in there.
It probably wasn't their idea.
Well, to be fair to the library, it was a foundation project. They had money raised in a foundation for that project. Our only job was to say, oh, yes, please spend your money on our library.
Yeah, it's not taxpayers' funds.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, it wasn't taxpayers' funds for
no.
that?
Well, I mean, some taxpayers may have donated money to the foundation, but it wasn't tax funds.
Alina, before we go into break, what do you got planned for the weekend?
Who are you speaking to, me?
Yeah. What do you got planned for the weekend? It's March, man. We're coming into March Madness weather.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Well, I'm ready to start picketing the borough. If anybody has any ideas in which to say, do not touch the tax cap, it belongs, the people of the community have a voice here. We want to come together and know what we can do to enlighten our assembly members, besides Barbara Haney, who's right on.
You have a great weekend. Thank you very much for the phone call. In Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. If you want to call in, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Left, 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 right, left. Hey, Fairbanks, Les Nichols here with Fairbanks Nissan. It's March. It's March. I cracked myself up. You need to march into Fairbanks Nissan for our pre-spring deals. This month, our world-famous tire sale is back. Buy three tires and get one for a dollar. You already know this is our best deal on new tires, so don't wait. We need to restock. We're buying cars, so come talk to Sergeant Shorty. He's our used car manager, and sell or trade your old ride today. He's not really a sergeant, but if you want to sell your old ride, he's the guy to talk to. Don't forget, brakes are just $299 all the time at Fairbanks Nissan, and we work on all makes and models, not just Nissans. So let's hear it again. Our best sale on tires is going on right now. Brakes are just $299 all the time at Fairbanks Nissan. We work on all makes and models, not just Nissans. And we're in car buying mode. So come sell or trade your car to us today. Don't get left, right, left behind. Schedule your next service or check out our new rides at lessaysyes.com. That's lessaysyes.com. Ask about our discounts for teachers, first responders, and active duty military. And a special thanks to our local educators. We're with you.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Cyberlich here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at kfarradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitesprucemedical.com.
KFAR Weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 10 below. Winds out of the northeast around 5 miles per hour. Lows around 34 below tonight, partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow, high of 4 below. Partly cloudy, single digits above zero. Sunday, mid-teens by Monday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back, and thank you for the wonderful phone calls that have come in today. Really appreciate it. Of course, Barbara, you know, great conversation with you, so you're bringing it in. Really appreciate that. But Fairbanks, you'll always hear me say, well, you don't hear over the break, I wish you could, when on our discussions. And Barbara brought up the fact that the people of the Fairbanks North Star Borough are being discarded from their conversations that they've had with the Fairbanks North Star Borough.
Without a doubt. I mean, even going into or coming out of the debate, I usually wait until after the matters decided before I answer emails. I'll mm-hmm. read them ahead of time, but I wait and answer so I can give people a report on what happened. The measure passed, the measure failed, or whatever. And so I probably answered over 300 emails.
I'm sure you have.
On just the tax. Asking me to vote no on the tax revenue cap increase. And I finally got exhausted. It took me days to answer them. And it was very simple replies, too. Like, thank you, I voted no.
I was getting emails, too, because they were using mayor.
Right. And they didn't.
Yeah. So I told Bryce Ward, I took one for the team on this one. I didn't respond to any of them. It's not my lane.
Right.
You know, I'm not a, right. You know, that's not my capacity. You know, this is what you guys are doing. But I got a lot of emails.
And then the oral testimony of people who took the time off from their daily lives to stay until late at night, to give testimony, either over the phone or in person, was enormous. I mean, we were there after midnight.
When has you ever seen so much testimony?
It's the Trails.
Yeah.
The Trails program, maybe?
Yeah.
I think this actually rivaled the Trails. Because in the Trails thing, we had the same people coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Whereas this was all
one shot.
And they were people that ordinarily one never hears from. In the Trails thing, at least there were people who we hear from on several issues.
Frequent flyers.
And that's fine. I don't mind that at all. They have the right to do that, mm-hmm. and that's fine. But what was interesting is these were people that never show up for anything that were calling in and upset and angry, and they felt betrayed. They really did. I mean, the number of people who have called me afterwards that felt betrayed was enormous. And the anger is palpable when people talk to me about this issue. And I just make sure I tell them, I didn't vote for it. I'm with you.
But I'm getting chewed out because of it. No, guilt by association.
No. Well, and that's okay. That's, you know, part of the program is you take that. And the one thing that people who are mad at me because I didn't support it, I tell them, I go, look, this says it's for education. If you think for a minute that these funds are earmarked for education, you've got a level of naivety that is very high because those funds can be spent on anything.
Last night, it was fun. I was with an example of mm-hmm. things. I was with a 3-star general, a full-blown colonel, myself and two other mayors. And we're talking about the issues that we have to go through.
Right.
And I said, yeah, but guess what? We all signed up for it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We signed up. We signed up for it.
And I knew going into this that was going to be something that I would have to absorb. A lot of anger, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, because
it's a reflection on what a decision was made.
Right. Not only that, but it gives you a sense of what the people want.
Yeah.
And once you get kind of in tune to that, you start to read a little bit more and you start to understand the issues better, I think.
And what I really appreciate, Barbara, about what me and you, our bodies do, we are the closest bodies to the people.
We are.
I mean, you have more interaction with our bodies than state or federal or even borough school district.
Well, and I would even say, you know, like for assembly people, we don't have an office. We don't have a third floor office in the borough building to hide behind.
Yeah.
All we have to live out in the real world. We're not in some lofty office. You know, we don't have a secretary. We don't have any of that. So, you know, we are our own receivers of information. So when you write your assembly member, you're not writing to their secretary. You're writing to them.
Yeah.
They're receiving, unlike a legislator, like I used to answer the letters for Representative Prox. But he often, you know, I would take and kind of collate them for him, and mm-hmm. he'd get to see. That's not what's going on here. When you write your assembly person, they're answering.
Yeah.
That's them. There's no secretary. Well, at least in my experience, I'm my own secretary. So, and when I go out in the public, you know, I could go out there and buy milk and people will still give me their opinion.
Before you were an elected official, did you realize how much email traffic you would get on issues?
You know, I kind of knew there was a lot of email traffic because I know what state legislators get. I've worked for multiple state legislators.
Okay.
But the email traffic, I think, on assembly is much greater than it is in the legislature. And
which means you're doing a lot of hostile things, making people get in touch with you.
Or you're getting support, one or the other.
You're doing a lot of items anyway.
Right.
Whether people support it or not, you're doing a lot of items.
It's the things that people that are close to home.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get a lot of people get angry with me. I get a lot of accolades, and I appreciate the feedback in both areas. But I think what's most important is you got to listen to what people have to tell you.
So, basically, seven people of the assembly did not listen to what the vast overwhelming of citizen comments were about the May 7th election.
Absolutely. That's where we're at. So, that's the same with the, and by the way,
very disrespectful.
And it's also, by the way, the same thing with the animal shelter.
Mm-hmm.
That's also, and it's a very different group of people. They're not so much fiscally oriented. They're more oriented in, I mean, they do care about fiscal issues,
mm-hmm.
but they really are more about the design and care and all that good stuff. And they were very critical of the design and felt like they had been locked out of the scoping component of the shelter design, and rightly so. They have a lot of knowledge and wisdom. They live their lives in the animal care industry, and they had a lot of wisdom to offer that had nothing to do necessarily with finances, but you know, you could always listen at least to their comments and then take a look at how that weighs out financially.
You know, no one, Fairbanks is the most giving location in our earth, I believe.
It is.
The people here contribute so much. They join so many things. They volunteer so often. We are not anti-dog, you know.
No.
Next week we have the North American Race Dog Championships.
And my daughter was one of the junior skijoring competitors for years.
But you look at priority lineups.
Yeah.
And this is way down the priority lineup.
I don't know. I just feel like there's some other something here that I'm not seeing in this whole fiscal picture, because none of it makes sense to me. I mean, that just looking at it.
Do you think it's one cabala of group on the assembly that's saying, okay, this one person wants it, so we're just going to follow their lead
or part of
this pack?
I don't think so.
And how did it come? How did it come up?
I don't know. I almost feel like some days that there's some kind of something going on in some back room that I'm not aware of. Of course, I wouldn't be aware of it because I tend to stay in North Pole. You know, some days I feel like there's some kind of other meetings going on to which I'm not privy, and they've made a decision and it doesn't matter.
You walk in, the decision's made before the meetings happen.
Yeah, yeah. And that's sort of sometimes the feeling I get.
Yeah.
But, you know, I still try, David, because I have to try. Mm-hmm. To me, it's worth it to try.
When I was on the city council, anytime I wrote an ordinance, I never talked about it with any other city council member until it was up for a reading. I never did. I never tried to get it passed. That way, all discussions were in the public.
You know, that's the same approach that I take.
Yeah, best approach. Good for you, Barbara.
I might look at somebody and say, is this an issue you're interested in? Yes or no? If you're not interested, okay. That's about it.
1 minute left. How do you want to end it? Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for being here.
I appreciate you having me on. On the May 7th election, vote no. If you support education, write a check to the Fairbanks North Star School District so they get the money. Don't give it to the Borough Assembly.
Because you don't know where it's going.
Yeah, well, that way, if you give it to the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District directly, you know it's going to them.
And right now they say the dog shelter is $33 million, but it might be $40 million.
Oh, my goodness. You know what? Never know.
Fairbanks, it's First Friday. Go out and enjoy yourself tonight.
Have a great weekend, folks.
Barbara, thank you so much for being on here as a private citizen.
Thank you. With
incredible knowledge about borough inner workings and hidden mechanisms. Fairbanks, I will see you on Monday.